We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
But right now, I want to talk to my esteemed guest, Professor Scheherazade Ahmadi from St. Thomas University. She is an expert in Middle East affairs, and she was just on the show a few days ago. Professor Ahmadi, thank you so much for joining us again.
It's a pleasure to be back. Thank you.
Were you surprised by this seemingly retaliation that the Supreme Leader called a slap in the face to America?
Yes, it was fascinating on several levels. Yeah.
Okay. Why were you surprised? Were you expecting more? Were you expecting less? Were you expecting to wait? What did you think was going to happen?
I wasn't expecting for it to be executed the way it was.
Okay.
It seems very obvious to me that Iran was avoiding serious damages to the United States. Iran's ballistic missiles are incredibly precise. If they wanted to commit to an airstrike that would result in large American casualties, they could have. They decided to do it in a way that ensured that Americans wouldn't die, which is very interesting. So the other fascinating element of this is that the Islamic Republic reported to its own public that 80 Americans had been killed.
Oh.
So it's misinforming Iranians, which shows me that they recognize they're very limited in their capacity to do anything. The best they can do is lie. And at the same time, they're signaling to the United States that they're not ready for a war.
So this is what that says, that there's no appetite for war. So then you don't expect another strike after this?
I would be very surprised if they do something again, given the fact that this was an opportunity to do something serious, and they essentially chose not to.
Why do you think they chose that? You said they could have hit harder if they wanted. Why are they holding back?
This goes back to what we discussed a couple of days ago. A war would be absolutely devastating for the Islamic Republic of Iran, and they're not willing to take that gamble. In a way, Trump was anticipating or hoping that Iran would take rational action, which would not to commit an airstrike that would result in major casualties. That gamble paid off. Mm-hmm. Iran reacted rationally.
So what about these sanctions? How do you think Trump will sanction Iran? And will that escalate anything? Or, like you said, because there's no appetite for war, will things calm down?
It's hard to imagine Iran suffering more from sanctions. Iran has already been hugely affected by the sanctions Trump initiated a couple of years ago. Remember, this was maximum pressure. Iran has been unable to do serious business for the last couple of years. Their oil revenues have diminished enormously. We're talking about going from over 2.5 million barrels a day to now just a couple hundred or a few hundred thousand. So Iran's government revenues has dropped precipitously. I imagine things could get worse. It could always be worse, but I'm trying to imagine how much more Iranians could take, given the already very harsh sanctions.
So where does this go now? The president also said today that he was ready to embrace peace. He claims he's going to sanction Iran even further, claims he's ready to embrace peace. What does the relationship look like going forward?
You know, to say that more sanctions will be initiated, but he's open to peace, in large measure, the reason that Iran has been engaging in these kind of military skirmishes the last year or two is because of the sanctions. So I'm trying to imagine sanctions, more sanctions leading to peace. I don't see a connection there. It is entirely possible that Trump is signaling the fact that this was a win for him, because in a way, the fact that American casualties did not result in the killing after the killing of Soleimani is a kind of win. But the speech was confusing. Sanctions really are the crux of the issue for Iran. So further sanctions would not result in normalizing relations with the country.
And when we look at it from, 10,000 feet, Iran now being out of the nuclear deal that they had cut with President Obama can enrich uranium as much as they want. Should Americans, should the greater world be concerned about a nuclear weapon?
It's very possible that Iran will start to invest in that area now that there aren't these measures to both supervise them and there's no incentive for them not to do this. One thing to keep in mind as we move forward is that a lot of the battlefield or the stage upon which America and Iran will engage with each other will be in Iraq. The problem for both President Trump and the Islamic Republic is that Iraq is trying desperately to maintain its national sovereignty. Iran is going to be, remember the attack that happened was within Iraq. And if the tension continues to escalate, what will probably happen is further violence within Iraq. So it's entirely possible that there will be an increase in nuclear investment in Iran. I don't think that that will result necessarily in American engagement with Iran in Iran, but there might be further escalation within Iraq.
What about Israel or Saudi Arabia?
I think Israel is probably hoping that the United States carries this battle through. In other words, that Israel will not be dragged into war. There's already been statements issued by top officials in Israel stating this, that they don't want to get entangled in this conflict. At the same time, Iran also issued statements saying that they want to hurt America in some capacity and that because Israel is America's greatest ally, it should be on notice. It is entirely plausible that Israel and Iran could become militarily entangled, especially in Lebanon or Syria. Iran is an imperial actor in the Middle East, and it has an imperial vision for itself. It's very likely that they will concede this territory.
Fascinating take. I'm so grateful for your expertise. Thank you so much. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Professor Shahrazad Ahmadi from St. Thomas University, an expert in Middle East studies. Professor, before I let you go, what didn't I ask you?
I want to just mention one thing that might be interesting to your listeners. The Iraqi government is extremely interested in asserting its national sovereignty. One thing to bear in mind is that these attacks on these bases in Iraq might also be an effort by the Iranians to assert their dominance over Iraqi politics. In other words, the Iraqi parliament recently passed a resolution insisting that American troops leave Iraq. Mm-hmm. This was boycotted. The vote in the parliament was boycotted by Sunnis and Kurds. And it's very interesting that the bases attacked by Iran were located in Sunni and Kurdish territory. So this might also be a warning to Iraqis who might be sympathetic to Americans. Again, I want to stress that this conflict will very likely hurt Iraqis the most, at least in the near future.
It's sad all the way around. But again, we want to thank you so much, and we will call on you again, Professor.
Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Professor Shahrazad Ahmadi, St. Thomas University.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.